Good afternoon and welcome back to our Food Friday on this Vox Pop. I'm your host, Brian Shields, in for Ray Graff. We have a tantalizing show lined up for you today. It's all about hard ciders, and to help us learn more about this drink, how it's made, and to answer your questions, we have two guests in the studio. Jason Grisanti is co-owner and master distiller of Warwick Valley Winery and Distillery, located in Warwick, New York. Jason graduated from Cornell University with a B.S. in Pomology and attended Harriet Watt University in Scotland for his postgraduate and degrees in brewing and distilling. Jason has been growing apples, distilling, and making hard cider at Warwick for 15 years. During that time, Doc's Hard Cider has grown from 3,000 gallons of annual production to over 200,000 gallons. Currently, Doc's Hard Cider is distributed in 25 states and overseas. Also with us, Casey Vitti is co-founder and cellar master at Awestruck Ciders in Walton, New York. He loves a good, clean fermentation and enjoying the broad spectrum of craft adult beverages. All of their ciders are fresh, pressed from New York State apples. Awestruck produces three ciders, Eastern Dry, Hibiscus Ginger, and Lavender Hops. We need your help on this one. Maybe you can't taste it. We will, but we want your calls anyway. 800-348-2551, the number to call on Vox Pop Hard Ciders today on this Food Friday. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Jason, your parents must have been thrilled when you told them you wanted to study pomology.
Actually, it wasn't without difficulty.
Yeah.
But
I've never heard of it before. What is it?
It is actually the study of tree fruit. Mm-hmm. And in New York, tree fruit imply apples.
Right.
So at Cornell, I was a apple student.
And Casey, what is the difference between taking a grape, turning it into wine, and taking an apple or another fruit and turning it into cider?
It's actually surprisingly similar how winemaking and cider making are. The only differences are more about the nutrient requirements and the off flavors you can get from mm-hmm. cider or winemaking. So,
what do you add once you've crushed the apple to make cider? Sugars, grains, what goes into it? Jason?
Sure. When we make our cider, it's all 100% apples. And we use a pectin enzyme to drop out the pectins in the fruit, and then we add our champagne yeast to convert sugars into alcohol.
Champagne yeast, is that what gives it the bubbles?
Or? That's what gives it the alcohol. And it's just a type of yeast mm-hmm. that eats sugar, and you know, it's the same yeast that they used in champagne.
Casey, what got you interested in this as a line of work? And a hobby.
As far as cider in general, it's been more of a fascinating with just beverages that kind of got us into it. We're kind of brainstorming and working on different business ideas, and this is something we've been fascinated with for years. So kind of just everything worked perfectly for this to happen.
And Jason, your pomology studies, what brought you to that?
Well, when I was 12 years old, my father actually purchased an apple orchard that mm-hmm. that was, he was just going to live there. And I sort of became interested in growing apples at a young age, and it became a passion for me growing up.
Hard cider, sort of like the craft beer industry, has just exploded over the last 10, 20 years. Why?
Absolutely. I mean, what? I would say the last 5 years.
It's really exploded.
Right. We've been making hard cider for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
And the first 15 of it, it was an uphill challenge.
Did the craft beer industry sort of open the door for cider, do you think?
That's I think absolutely.
I absolutely think so.
I think the public has actually been, the flavor profiles fit with the public. It just hasn't been commercialized and marketed in the way it has recently with the craft beer boom.
Let's take a call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number to call. Hard Cider today on Food Friday. Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. And in this Kuna, Che?
Hi. I really like the idea of hard cider, and I was introduced to it in California a number of years ago when I went to a creperie that had peach and pear ciders. And I really want to know how to choose a cider, because sometimes I'll buy a cider, and I don't like beer at all, but I really like a cider, and it doesn't have to be too sweet. But when it has that flavor, maybe hoppiness, I don't know, that one would really associate with a beer, I don't enjoy it. And so I'm hoping you can tell me how to choose one.
I think that's one of the most difficult things, just because cider can be sweet, it can be dry, it can be hopped, flavored. I mean, it's so diverse. Probably, I couldn't tell you the easiest way to select one other than doing maybe tastings. What we try to do is actually put slider bars and explain the product a little more, but it's really, that's probably one of the biggest challenges for the cider industry, showing what different ciders are to the customer.
And there are a lot of different types of ciders out there, like you mentioned, and some that are not as approachable from a beginner
mass
standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Well, what about your products would you say are some that I could try that aren't as beer-like?
So we do a whole line. I think we have 8 different flavored ciders out, everywhere from a hopped cider and a dry cider. And then we have a whole gamut of fruit flavors. I would suggest starting with an apple, you know, sort of the basic apple, and sort of moving on from there. I would not, for Doc's Draft hard ciders, I don't think any of them are particularly beer-like except our hopped cider.
Okay.
And I would say that even just kind of artisanal ciders in general, kind of what we're doing, are more wine flavor in taste than they are beer flavor in taste. So I would say like more of an artisanal cider company would be where to go for.
Or is there ciders that you've had that you really enjoy?
Yeah, not that I'm not that person who will buy it and then say, okay, let me write down this name. And so that's unfortunate. But just stay away from the larger brands, I guess, is what you're saying.
Not completely. There's some excellent larger brands, but just more of, I guess, craft style brands. But that's not true either. There's
we're not doing a very good job answering.
Yeah,
this question.
Yeah. It's,
I
it's
say
all
go out
over.
There and try a bunch of different ciders and figure out what you.
Yeah,
like.
I think that's your only way to figure it out.
All right. Well, I guess I'll have to. Keep a journal. It sounds like hard work.
It's good hard work.
Thank you very much for calling. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Jason Grisanti, co-owner and master distiller of Warwick Valley Winery and Distillery in Warwick, New York. Casey Vitti is the co-founder and cellar master at Awestruck Ciders in Walton. What's a cellar master do, Casey?
In terms of a cellar master, that really just is the person who selects the juice and the apples and balances them. I mean, there's actually a lot of more lab testing than you'd realize, but basically the cellar master makes a clean fermentation when it comes down to it.
Again, the number 800-348-2551. If you guys want to start pouring a couple of those, we'll sample them up. And I noticed that the alcohol content is 5% on one, 6% on the other. That's roughly what you get in a beer, isn't it?
Yes, it is roughly what you get in a beer. Sort of the legal definition, if you will, of cider is 3.5 to 7% alcohol.
So you can't go over 7?
Well, you
in
can.
In New York, you can.
Federally, you can't.
It's a wine, mm-hmm. Federally.
So. Above 7% alcohol, it becomes technically a wine. Mm-hmm. So hard ciders, as a category, tend to be below 7% alcohol.
Do you pair it with foods like the wine connoisseurs do?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, we have, a large line of ciders. So, you know, we can pair different flavors with different foods. I personally like the apple best with barbecue. Mm-hmm. I think it goes great.
Let's try some of the Awestruck Premium Hard Cider. This is lavender hops. So this is sort of the beery one, kind of?
It's actually more citrusy than it is beery.
I can taste a little bit of beer in there, a little bit.
This one, there are some
very
hops.
Good, though.
We use citrus hops. We describe this as a unique bittersweet cider. There's really nothing like it. This is completely wild.
What did you say? Lavender
so
what
we
type
use,
of hops?
We use lavender. We steep in fresh dried lavender, and then we use 3 different types of hops. We use Citra, Centennial, and Cascade, and it ends up being a very complex, interesting, citrusy beverage.
Hmm. I think it's lovely.
It is. It's got a nice nice little kick to it, a little fizz sort of.
A
little bit of fizz, but not overwhelming. Doesn't go up your nose like soda, you know, nothing like that.
No, that's the other regulation with cider. They tend to be a little bit lower in the carbonation.
800-348-2551. Paul is in Ulster Park. Paul, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I have a cider press that I've had for years. Actually, my dad and I found it in a garage sale in 1960. And I've been making just juice because my friend Gene tells me that it's not cider when you just press it. It's just juice. Anyway, give me some directions on where to get started because I'd like to try to make hard cider. And is there anything dangerous I should be careful about or...
Exploding bottles.
I would say no. There's nothing that you should really be worried about. Have a good time. Go out to your local homebrew store and maybe pick up a few different types of yeast.
Okay.
And you know you'll start with fermentation. And the thing with apples, unlike beer, is that there are no proteins in apples, and you need to provide nutrients for your yeast if you don't want to get off flavors. So Pick good variety, pick interesting yeast strains, and make sure you feed them.
Okay. Champagne yeast absolutely is an excellent fermenter for ciders. That's kind of where a lot of cider makers go to for their first yeast, or even long term. It's an excellent, excellent yeast. We use a champagne yeast as well.
So if you have the right nutrients and you have a good yeast, you'll make at least a clean tasting product, and then you can work on where you want to go from there.
How long does it usually take?
It
depends on temperature, basically.
It depends on temperature. It also depends on the sort of the style you want to make. I would say that you should, you know, sort of anticipate it taking 4 weeks.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. That sounds great.
Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. This is Vox Pop Food Friday. We're talking hard cider today. More calls in a moment.
Support comes from Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as white-faced mint chip and black raspberry are available at Adams Fair Acre Farms, Whole Foods, ShopRite, and coming soon to Hannaford. AdirondackCreamery.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. The Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Waterville Ave, Albany, New York. Specializing in local and organic produce, natural groceries, fine cheeses, locally raised meats, and ready-to-go organic meals, honestweight.coop. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preservenys.org. And the Whistling Kettle Tea Shop and Cafe in Ballston Spa. Celebrating the one-year anniversary of the cafe in downtown Troy, New York, featuring a private room for parties and special events, thewhistlingkettle.com.
This is Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. It's Cider Friday, actually. Jason Grisanti, co-owner and master distiller of Warwick Valley Winery and Distillery, is located in Warwick, New York, is our guest, along with Casey Vitti, co-founder and cellar master at Awestruck Ciders in Walton, New York. Hard cider today, 800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. And I've been sampling some of these. I'd love to sample them all, but I got a newscast at 3:30, and that would make for some very interesting listening if I tasted all the bottles, and you guys got to drive home. But you just gave me one, Jason. What is this?
That's our hopped cider. So that is our traditional apple cider that we dry hop with a blend of Centennial and Chinook hops. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like it's going to have some IPA sort of notes to it in that California IPA style, but it's also going to have some interesting wine notes, a little bit of a sort of Gewürztraminer finish, like that lychee nut and grapefruit.
800-348-2551 to Saratoga. Brian, go ahead. Brian? Hello, Brian, are you there? Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Brian, go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Okay. My question has to do, about a year ago, I had gastric bypass surgery, and so I can't do anything with carbonation, and used to love the craft brews and things like that. How do you tell, I noticed some ciders are carbonated, some are non-carbonated. Is there anything you can look at on a label or anything else that will show you whether or not it's carbonated?
There are no legal labeling requirements in terms of carbonation, so it might be tricky. I'm not sure how to...
I would think that if the bottle had a cork finish as opposed to a crown cap or a wire hood, you would be safe to say that was still, versus if it had a crown cap or like a cork and cage, it would be carbonated.
Or, yeah, like a wine bottle kind of style looking cider, chances are that should be flat.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you, Brian. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Sean in Springfield. Sean.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I
I really enjoy hard cider in general, but it seems like a lot of what I come across has been too bright and too kind of poppy, whereas I'm looking for something that's kind of more warm, you know, heavier undertones, like a nuttiness almost. And I was wondering, what exactly should I be looking for when choosing a cider that has some of these characteristics?
It's an interesting question. Do you like dry ciders?
Yeah.
So I would probably, for those qualifications, I think I would stick with dry styled cider. Something in the 750 ml formats maybe would be an easy one.
Possibly barrel aged as
Yeah,
well.
Barrel aged ciders.
Uh-huh.
There are some great ones out there. Farnham Hill makes a lovely dry cider that, you know, you could try.
And Farnham Hill.
Yep.
Farnham Hill does an excellent job. Yes.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Hard Cider today on Food Friday Vox Pop. Jason Grisanti and Casey Vitti are our guests today on the program. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Layla in Mount Tremper.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Two questions, if I may. One, it's probably naive, but if people don't like a hoppy taste, is it as simple as looking on the label and see if hops is listed as an ingredient? Number
yes.
One,
absolutely.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. And number two, I have the impression that hard cider, that Johnny Appleseed actually spread cider apples across the U.S. And people actually used it to make hard cider in order to have something to drink that wasn't contaminated, unlike a lot of the drinking water of the time. I don't know. Do you know anything about that? Do you know if that's true? And if
that's
so,
absolutely.
That is accurate.
he was planting true cider trees. So
and that was part of the reason. I mean, he was doing it for cider production, not for apple production.
And that's basically why there's such a strong cider heritage in this country. It basically used to replace drinking water, because once there's a bit of alcohol in it, you know it's safe to consume.
I'm wondering if the settlers went around half-snockered all the time, or whether
How'd they get anything done back then?
I'm pretty sure they were half-snockered all the time. Maybe they just weren't quite sober.
Including children as well, which may not.
No.
Oh, yeah, better than getting other diseases, maybe.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Fermentation goes back to the Old Testament, even before. Do you know when the first guy crawled out of the cave and, you know, left his apple juice out in the sun too long and discovered what had gone on? How far back does it go?
I'm going to let you take that one.
I don't know if I could answer that. I'm sure very long ago.
Back to, certainly B.C.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 800-348-2551. Let's talk about hard cider today on Vox Pop, and let's go to... Let's see, Robert. Robert in Prospect.
Hello.
Hi, Robert.
How are you all doing? Sounds interesting. I'm 68 years old. I grew up north of the Finger Lakes, and every fall, a tank truck would come to our house, and we'd put down two 55-gallon old whiskey barrels full of cider and make hard cider. And some of it was made with honey to sweeten it, some with sugar, but it all came out pretty good, and it was mostly still, but sometimes we'd get an effervescent one if we put some more yeast in it and bottled it.
Any comments on the old family recipe there?
A lot of guys are out there using honey in barrels, and mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, you had some great ciders and some probably not so great ciders.
There
was, but some of them were outstanding, I have to say. Some of them were outstanding. But, you know, we had a cellar with a dirt floor, and it was cool, and it was a good place to make cider. We even tried at one time to distill some of that and made Applejack. But
we're not supposed to tell anyone that.
That's another story. That was a long time ago. That was over 40 years, 50 years ago now.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your story.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you. 800-348-2551 is Vox Pop. Food Friday in Woodstock. Danny.
Hi. Actually, you were just talking about this a couple minutes ago, but when I was a teenager, I lived way out in the country, and I would get apple, you know, fresh pressed apple juice. I don't know if you we called it cider, but it wasn't fermented. And I didn't have refrigeration, so it would sit out, and just at a certain point when it was starting to ferment, it was extremely carbonated, incredibly sweet, indescribably delicious, and somewhat alcoholic. And it was so ridiculously great, but not stable. You know, it would only be really good for
an afternoon.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't last too long either.
Right.
But so my question is, can you get that and stabilize it somehow? And B, how similar is that to what you guys are doing?
So
That's the trick to our, commercial cider making that happen.
Right. So the easy answer is that does happen, and but it is unstable, and trying to keep so the alcohol in that product that you're talking about is probably about 2.5%, maybe 3%. It's very light. It's still very cloudy and dark. It's not a stable product. You couldn't put it on a shelf.
The sugar still remains in the product. So basically, the yeasts are converting it over into alcohol, and it's about halfway done at that point.
Yeah,
there's yeast present because I add nothing to. Actually, I'm doing it now as well because I've been lucky enough to find a place around here that doesn't add the 0.1% preservative, and it just does that a couple of days, and wow, it's incredible.
Right, because there's yeast all over the equipment. And there's yeast in your air. There's yeast everywhere.
And there's possibly even bacteria. I mean, there's probably a lot of biological load on that product. So just cider in general wants to ferment. So, I mean, it's tricky to actually stop it from fermenting.
Right. So you're not going to necessarily get a repeatable, you know, performance every time by your juice.
But basically, in general, there are a few techniques to stop fermentation and maintain it and stuff. And a lot of it revolves around, I guess, sulfites and filtration. So it's actually tricky to do on a home scale to get kind of a half sweet, half alcoholic cider and keep it stable.
Interesting. All right. Well, thanks. I'm just going to keep doing that
keep
while it's available, and I'll buy your stuff as well.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. You look at some of the wine and whiskey ads, and it seems the longer the fermentation, the better. Is that necessarily the case with cider?
So it's not necessarily the fermentation portion that's longer or
the aging.
It's the aging. Yeah. And, with whiskey making, you know, age does definitely play a piece to the puzzle. But with cider making, it's not quite the same. I mean, you don't need as much aging or maturation time as you do for some other beverages.
Do you put it in those special wood barrels that they're always touting on their ads? Does it have to be put in something special?
We don't. We do all of our fermentation for our cider in stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
And same with its maturation in stainless. So we do not. We do have a barrel aged cider. That's a different product. But all the products that are here are stainless steel.
Casey, have you ever tried a fruit that just experimented with it and see, will this taste like a cider, and it really didn't come out the way you'd hoped? Have you had experimented?
Actually, I just started a cherry fermentation recently, mm-hmm. but a lot of that, every fruit has its own characteristics and nutrients and everything, so it is tricky to get a good fermentation.
This is Vox Pop on WAMC Hard Cider on this Vox Pop Food Friday. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Joe in Summit, go ahead.
Hi, I have a question about hard ciders here in the States. When I was in England, I enjoyed hard cider, which was quite, bitter. And here in the States, when I come back, the apple cider is almost like a carbonated apple juice.
Yes.
And I was wondering whether they have apple cider or apple jack here that's similar to what they sell in Great Britain.
It's the trick between English ciders and U.S. ciders is actually the apples that you put into it. They have true cider apples in mass quantities. We kind of got wiped out and switched over to eating apples. So basically a lot of the ciders in the U.S. are going to have less tannin and less bitterness. So really the way to go about that is to find some cider that's marketed with heritage apples or true cider apples, and then you'll get that kind of true bitterness in the cider.
So we make a product which is sitting in front of us here, is our Gold Rush cider. It's made with the Gold Rush apple, and Gold Rush apple is a very high tannin apple. It is not a true British cider apple, but it's a disease resistant apple that was designed with a very thick skin and a lot of tannins. And Brian, I'll pour you some of this.
Okay.
And
fringe benefit of the job here. Thank you very much.
It's a drier style cider, more in that British style. Mm-hmm. But, in general, a lot of the local sort of U.S. ciders are made with dessert fruit. So they're not going to have the tannins. They're not going to have the bitterness that those British ciders did.
Yes, and it's not as refreshing as the British ones. I know on a very, very hot day, having a cool apple cider in Great Britain is a lot more refreshing and a lot more, it gives a lot more energy than having a one here in the States. It seems to be giving almost a sweet high before and then going out and suffering from the heat again.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. The British sometimes drink their beer warm. Do you recommend how to drink cider, chilled, cold, room temperature?
I think it really depends on what you're doing with your cider. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a refreshment, I like cider over ice. If you're looking for as an accompaniment to food, I think that sort of slightly chilled is the way to go.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. Vox Pop Food Friday today with Jason Grisanti and Casey Vitti, co-founder and cellar master at Awestruck Ciders in Walton. Jason, co-owner and master distiller of Warwick Valley Winery and Distillery in Warwick. 800-348-2551. So you just don't go out and pick up a Macintosh. You got to get a special apple. No Granny Smiths, no Macintoshes from the grocery store. You've mentioned cider apples specifically as opposed to the kind of apples we have for lunch.
It's very similar to wine. You've got mm-hmm. eating grapes and you've got wine grapes. And mm-hmm. cider is the apples with high tannin contents and a lot of unique characteristics. And then you've got your regular dessert apples. And you can ferment with both. It's the same way as with wine, you can ferment with eating grapes. You just get different traits out of different apples.
So do you take the apples that you've grown in the summer, harvest in the fall, do the fermentation and the aging in the winter, and then sell it in the spring? Or do you have a seasonal circular motion like that?
At this point, we don't. We bring our apples in the fall mm-hmm. and put them in storage and then press throughout the year and ferment throughout the year. So we are constantly making cider.
Even when the apples aren't growing?
Right, because we're taking them out of storage.
Okay. 800-348-2551. Bob in Port Ewan. Hello, Bob. Bob, are you there?
Oh, hello. I'm sorry.
Hi.
My father was an old-timer. He was born in 1884. He was raised on a farm quite near where Stewart Field is right now. And he said that during the winter, they would take a bucket of hard cider and set it out and let it freeze, and all of the alcohol in it would gather in a small ball in the center of the ice. And they would take and chip into the small ball of the alcohol and then suck it out with a straw. Talk about blowing your head off. That must be very close.
So that's called jacking, and that's where the term apple jacking or applejack comes from. It's freeze distillation is essentially what you're doing.
It's a little easier than boiling, but you get a lot of condensed acids and flavors from that.
So what does the alcohol go to the center of the ice?
It doesn't actually go really to the center. It usually... That's the way people tell the story, but when you do it, it tends to form on the bottom.
But the alcohol wouldn't freeze.
Right.
Yes, but that's the higher.
But it just sort of drops into the center.
Yeah. Okay, just what I mentioned. Great enjoyable program, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. There's a lot of history of cider. We're getting a lot of old family memories, so this is really interesting. Mike and Troy. Mike, go ahead.
I remember, and this question may have been answered a couple of calls ago, but I'll bring it up anyway. I remember in the 1950s and 1960s when getting non-alcoholic cider, it tasted very fruity and very sour. It was a really interesting taste. But a lot of the cider today, even when they say it's non-pasteurized, is sweet. It doesn't have that kind of characteristic, and I'm wondering if that's because they're not using the cider apples the way they that they're not as available as they used to be.
Well, the apple varieties have certainly changed. The apple varieties probably in the 50s were older varieties. They were probably grown on standard size trees, and you know the quality of the fruit, I would say, is probably worse. You know, it was poorer fruit, and you know, therefore had more acid to it, less sugar, and so the resulting juice probably was more acidic, and you know, maybe just a different flavor profile than the juice that we have today, which is probably sweeter and you know, a little thicker, more sugars.
Yeah, I don't dislike it. It's just
it's different.
Tastes different. I liked the old style, and so what you're saying is maybe the product I was having was inferior.
Well, not so much inferior, just different.
It kind of turned into more of a commercial way of harvesting apples and more fertilizers, and the apples kind of changed a little bit from what it used to be. So it's nothing's inferior. It's just different.
Yeah, because I so you're saying the ones I had may have been more commercial, more commercially, that they may have been, they may have used more commercial techniques.
I'd say today they use more commercial techniques.
Yeah, because I've had cider from places that claim they're using organic apples and the cider is unpasteurized and all that, and it's still sweet.
Right, but that's the flavor that people are looking for today. You know, we're in a sweet culture.
Yeah. I see. So it's in that case, it's probably the apple profile.
Correct.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So the apples in the 50s were tartar. They had less sugar than the apples of today.
Yeah, I wish they'd use some of the other ones, the tartar ones.
Well, you know, if you find a local farm stand that is pressing their own cider, you might be able to convince the cider guy to throw in some more, you know, sharp apples to give you
some crab apples, even.
Right. Something that gives a little more acidity to it.
How about Max? Will they do that to Macintosh?
No. Macintosh or not.
They're more of a sweet dessert apple.
Oh, they are. Okay. Now, maybe you went through this before when I was distracted, but what is the difference between cider and juice? I'm not talking about hard cider, but just cider.
So in the rest of the world, cider means alcohol, and juice is what we think of as sweet cider.
And that's how, as cider makers, we differentiate. We call cider the alcoholic version, but kind of here, everyone seems to call it hard cider, so it's... Traditionally, cider is alcoholic. Juice is non-alcoholic.
Correct.
Okay, because apple. When I've had apple juice, it tastes different than what I call.
Right. So when you think of sweet cider, you think of the brown juice that you buy at a farm stand.
Yes.
That's thicker. And then when you think of apple juice, you think of the stuff that you get at the supermarket that's clear. So
yeah.
They're both juice, and the Mott's product that is in the supermarket has just been filtered.
And the pulp has been taken out.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 800-348-2551. More calls in a moment.
Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Hudson Valley Goldsmith New Paltz, specializing in custom-designed fine jewelry made with conflict-free diamonds and recycled gold, vintage jewelry, and the work of over 20 artists. Custom work in an open studio, hudsonvalleygoldsmith.com. Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House with 3 rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCo.com. And Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering fresh-picked or pick-your-own blueberries from Windy Hill's netted fields, WindyHillFarmInc.com.
It is Food Friday Vox Pop. It is hard cider today. Jason Grisanti, Casey Vitti are our guests today. Your calls are welcome, 800-348-2551. And tasting these ciders, I taste more of a champagne taste than a wine taste. Is that accurate to a layman like myself?
than a wine taste.
Yeah, more of a I guess. I mean, more
maybe
champagne.
Maybe because of the bubbles and the delicate nature of the fruit, they have more of that champagne note.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Gail in Goshen. Gail.
Hello.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
So I have a gallon of apple cider sitting in my refrigerator since Thanksgiving, and I was wondering, is there anything I could do with it?
I'm sure it's alcoholic by now. You could probably cook with it. You could probably make, you know, interesting stocks and sauces. I'm not sure I would drink it.
I would make sure to smell it first and see if there's any off taste or sometimes they tend to go bad or you get some kind of like nail polish flavors and other things like that. It's usually not bad, but I would just be cautious.
All right. I remember back in high school letting my apple cider sit in the locker and
ooh. That'll get you thrown out of school now.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now I'm more cautious. But I would like to use it for something. Like, do you recommend anything?
Like I said, you could try some interesting sauces. Maybe cook with it.
Maybe
roast a pork.
Yeah.
Maybe seal your driveway if it's old enough.
Should I just pour it out?
I think that probably would be the safest bet.
All right.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Gideon in Albany.
Hi there.
Hi.
So my question is about shelf life. So with beer, particular bottled beer, they say that you're not supposed to have it in sunlight or heat. Mm-hmm. Is it the same for cider? I mean, I haven't seen any cider in cans.
Yeah, I noticed. I notice all the bottles here are dark brown. Is there a reason for that?
Cider doesn't get damaged. A lot of it has to do with the hops that get damaged from beer. I have some. I think we both have hop cider, so that brown is probably the best thing. But really, cider. A lot of ciders are in clear glass, and you can put them in clear glass. But as with any product, it's even wines is better to keep them dark.
Okay.
Gotcha. And my other question is, are you able to quantify about how many apples goes in each bottle?
How many apples per 16-ounce bottle, maybe?
I think it's about 10 pounds of apples per gallon. So I guess depending on the bottle size, that would kind of be a rough conversion.
880. Yeah,
I think that's right. Maybe 8 pounds.
Right, 8 pounds, I was going to say. But
depending on your press efficiency.
Per gallon.
Wow. Quite a bit.
All right, thanks a lot, Gideon. 800-348-2551. Calling from the Berkshires, Anne and Beckett.
Well, hello.
Hi.
I'm from across the pond originally. I've been up here for many, many years, but it was interesting hearing a discussion about cider, which was something we were very used to in the UK. And I was very, very disappointed when I first ordered a glass of cider here in the States, and they gave me apple juice. Oh, my gosh. What a disappointment.
I imagine.
That's changing now. You should go out and order yourself a cider again.
The other thing is there are different kinds of cider, as you know, but we could get a wine-type cider, which was actually made from cooking apples, which are very different than eating apples. A cooking apple in England, which you use for apple pies, et cetera, is very tart, and you have to add a lot of sugar to it to make it palatable. It has a better consistency, so it holds up better in pies. But there's another kind of cider which you can only get in the southwest of England, Devonshire, and that area, and it's called Scrumpy. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Yes.
Which is a very hard cider. In fact, I know a couple of places where they won't sell it to you unless you're local.
In fact, introducing a Scrumpy tonight, right?
We actually, last night at the Rock in Albany, Troy, I guess, we just launched a Belgian-style Scrumpy Sour cider, which is very wild, but it was basically this cloudy, crazy cider. So we do have a little bit of that here.
It is delicious. In fact, I have an old Scrumpy bottle. They used to put it in earthenware jugs with a wire top on it, like the champagne corks.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be pretty lethal. So I suspect it will catch on.
Well, ours isn't lethal. We hope not.
Well, Well, thank you for your discussion. I'm having a good time listening to it.
And we're having a good time, too. Thanks for joining in. 800-348-2551. Jack in Olive Bridge.
Hi. I think I have an answer to the lady who wants to know what to do with that gallon of cider, which is I put it in my garden. I use it to water my garden, and I think the microbes in there are good for the soil. And also, what I'm looking for is cloudy, unfiltered cider, and I find it hard to get around the Mid-Hudson Valley. Do you know any place to get it? Is it maybe it's called Scrumpy or whatever that lady said.
So now you're talking about cloudy, unfiltered, hard cider, correct?
Or fresh or cloudy or juice. I guess.
Yeah.
Which is the question that you're asking?
Yeah. I want
unfiltered.
Well,
is unfiltered cider
if you
scrumpy?
Get unfiltered, unhomogenized cloudy cider, even when it's sweet, it will slowly go hard, right?
Yes. So are
which
you?
Which is
are
what
you...
I like, and then I can drink it right up to the point where it's where I like. You know?
So you can find you. Well, it's difficult to find
unprocessed.
So you know, like there are places that will do UV filtering. Usually those are your smaller farm stands, and the UV filter is accepted by the health department here
to kill any potential pathogens that are harmful.
Where,
I know in the
but
in
it doesn't
apple
kill
season
the
in the fall you can get it around here, but you can't get it any other time of the year.
Right, that would probably be the only time of year you could get it because it doesn't have a good shelf life, so it's going to require
fresh pressing.
Right, it needs to be fresh pressed and used fast.
Okay, no.
Thanks a lot for calling. What about some of the beers nowadays, the big supermarket beers and the craft brews? They stamp what they call a use-by date on it. You know, you drink this beer by October 15th of 2015. Same thing with cider? Do you want to have, after you buy it, don't leave it around too long?
We recommend a one-year shelf life for our product. I mean, I've had our ciders that are 3 or 4 years old, and they're just as good as the day they went in, but we recommend 1 year.
And cider is a little more similar to wine than it is beer in that aspect. There's a lot of techniques, sterile filtering and pasteurizing, that keep the long shelf life that wine tends to get.
And once you open it, finish the bottle, or
yes.
don't stick a cork in
if
it.
If it's carbonated, it'll probably go flat. Yeah. But
and even if it isn't carbonated with the cork in it, it will oxidize faster. And once you get that, you'll get oxidized sort of off notes, and it will be less enjoyable.
800-348-2551, the number to call today on Vox Pop. It's Hard Cider Friday on Food Friday, Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Cheryl in Glens Falls, go ahead.
Hi, I have an idea for what that woman can do with her hard cider that was accidentally brewing in her refrigerator. I've had a bottle that I've been working on since November. It's great for braising pork. If the pork is a fatty cut, you just pour it in just like you would with red wine and cocoa van and let it cook up. The meat, the sauces, the juices from the meat blend with the cider. The alcohol burns off, and anything that would scare you about the cider burns off when you saute it on a high flame. If you've got a low-fat cut of pork, you take the pork out of the pan, and while the pan drippings are still in there, you just turn up the flame until it's nice and hot, and then pour a bunch in there and reduce it. It makes a nice sauce for the pork and mashed potatoes or anything else you want to have with it.
Sounds delicious.
You're making us hungry over here.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much for calling. Do the ciders have, you know, there's the summer ale, there's the winter ale that the craft brewers come out. Do you have summer ciders, winter ciders, that kind of thing?
We do. We have a whole line of seasonal products. So, you know, our apple, pear, raspberry, and dry hopped are pretty much available all year round. And then we have a pumpkin cider that comes out in the fall, and a winter spice cider that comes out in the winter.
Some of the summer ales are lighter because it's summer, and they're a little more tasty, a little darker in the winter. Is that what you do with cider, sort of?
A little. I would say in the winter, more kind of barrel-aged, heavier. So, basically...
Same concept. I mean, it's really up to the individual cider maker. Mm-hmm. But whereas in beer, there's sort of traditional styles that come along as the calendar goes. In the cider making, there's not quite that history.
800-348-2551. A few minutes left. We're talking hard cider today on Food Friday Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. From Waterville, Liz, your call.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, go ahead.
The guy that called about wanting to know where he could buy the apple juice cider all year long, Trader Joe's Markets. I work for Trader Joe's out in California, and I'm just visiting. And I heard his question, so I said I'm going to call him really quick because we do have all kinds of unfiltered apple juices and cider.
All right. Thank you very much.
So that's his answer.
Thank you. We have Trader Joe's around here. I'm not sure if they do it, but where do you sell your products, by the way? Are there laws about selling it in supermarkets or like cover whiskey, that kind of thing?
New York State is actually amazing. If you have cider by the state's definition, you could sell it in both liquor stores and grocery stores, mm-hmm. unlike wine or beer. As far as what we sell ourselves, we're in about 31 counties now. The Austruck ciders are in probably quite a bit of chain stores. We're in like Price Chopper's, Hannaford's, Tops, so I guess a few different markets scattered here and there. But basically beer stores, liquor stores, anywhere you can get it, we're trying to aim for.
Okay, and you got to be 21, right?
Got to be 21.
Got to be 21. We have an email. Apple cider is something that everyone in my family enjoys. I love apple cider, but I have some concerns about trying hard cider. I do not drink alcohol. Is there any kind of non-alcoholic hard cider? What about those of us who do not drink alcohol, and also for the under 18 crowd? There is non-alcoholic beer. Is there non-alcoholic hard cider?
Apple
sort
juice.
Of a well, I think that's apple juice.
Right.
You know, Martinelli's has a sparkling apple cider mm-hmm. that would sort of fall into that category. I don't think that there is anyone that's making a de-alcoholized hard cider at this point.
Let's talk to Jake in Accord. Jake.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? I was wondering if you guys could talk for a moment about adjunct ingredients in hard ciders. There's some hopped ciders that are mm-hmm. available now. And if there's just any ingredients that have struck you as surprisingly good or things that people are putting in ciders that add flavors that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, we've mentioned hops before. What else?
Ginger is something that a lot of cider makers are doing, and it pairs very nicely with that apple profile.
I was pretty surprised about your lavender. Lavender, I thought, was pretty an interesting adjunct to steal a term from the brewing world. It's
basically anything. I mean, all of the cider makers are just playing around like crazy.
Yeah, they're trying to do things that are different. I think the hops really do pair really well with cider.
Interesting. I have another question. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between the yeast used for the beer and ciders?
There can be. Some people use ale yeasts or lager yeasts when they make cider. A lot of cider makers use wine-styled yeasts or champagne yeasts, predominantly because those types of yeasts are better at fermenting fruit sugars versus beer yeasts. They're better at fermenting, you know, grain sugars, maltose, and things like that. So the yeast do have an effect, but there's usually
but you can do you can use them for anything, but you might get some weird flavors depending on what you choose.
Okay, Jake. Okay, thank you very much for calling. We only got about 1 minute left. Jason, Casey, let's start with Jason. Somebody has never tried hard cider before. Where should they begin? What flavor, what taste do you think for the novice?
I think that you should start with the original. Go in and try apple flavored ciders, you know, like ours mm-hmm. and Casey's, you know, develop a base, a library, if you will, of flavor that you can, you know, go back to, in the future.
And Casey, I want to have a hamburger tonight. What cider do I pick?
You know what? There's just so many different things. I think that kind of depends on what you like in cider. I mean, as far as pairing with a hamburger, I would maybe say something a little heavier. But I think the bigger issue is more of the sweetness level that you want.
I guess it depends on what you like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both very much. Jason Grisanti, co-owner and master distiller of Warwick Valley Winery and Distillery, located in Warwick. Casey Vitti, co-founder and cellar master at Austruck Ciders in Walton. And we apologize to you, Matthew, in Albany, for leaving you on the line. Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Carrie Haddad Gallery in Hudson, New York, presenting Abstraction, an exhibit of paintings, photographs, and sculpture. through August 23rd, open daily, 11 to 5, CarrieHaddadGallery.com. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete. Available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, Manny'sOliveOil.com. Again, thanks again for everyone for joining us today on Vox Pop. I'm Brian Shields. The news next.